Get Pucked. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast here with Dave and Vito. I'm Matt. We are back. We're here to talk some hockey. So, first and foremost, we have a Stanley Cup Finals. It's done. It's going to start. It's starting on Wednesday. We have the Colorado Avalanche against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You don't seem happy about that, Matt.
Well, listen. When I pick a team and they go up 2-0 and then they end up losing 4 straight, I have reason to not be happy. So you guys managed to pull off the Tampa Bay. Ooh, you took the safe bet, but whatever. And here's our little internal standings for anybody looking. We got Vito in the lead with 19 points. Dave and myself are tied at 18
apiece.
It looks like in an ideal world, which I'm sure we're not all going to have the same pick in the same games. So it's going to come down to the wire. It looks like it's going to come down to the wire, which is very exciting.
And, I don't know. I feel like Dave cheated last round.
Cheated?
Dave, you cheated last round.
How do you cheat?
You got control of the diagrams. You got control of all the pictures. I don't know what you did.
We made our picks on live.
I don't know what you did.
Just go watch the last episode, my friend.
I don't know about no cheating. But point is, Dave managed to crawl back from the basement. He tied me in second place right now. I tried to do the unthinkable and bet against the juggernaut that is the Tampa Bay Lightning for the third series in a row, I think.
You picked them against the Leafs.
I picked them against the Leafs, right, in round one. So for 2 back-to-backs. And frankly, I think I might be inclined to do it again. But we'll see. So starting with Vito, because he's now champion, currently champion. What is your Stanley Cup final prediction?
Colorado in 7. Straight up, that's what I'm saying. Colorado in 7. They've got the pieces to beat Tampa. They've got the skill. When you look at Tampa, yeah, they do have an edge on Colorado in goaltending. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you look at the Colorado's defense, where does it match up to Tampa Bay? Well, think of it this way. Tampa's got Hedman, they've got McDonough, they've got Sergachev, and then when you look at Colorado, something Tampa doesn't have is a Cale Makar. Devin Taves has been amazing. Josh Manson's been holding his own. It's just the team itself is. I just think Colorado has a chance. Now, the only thing that might hurt Colorado is the fact that they lost Kadri and it doesn't look like he's gonna be coming back, while Tampa Bay does have Braden Point that's practicing and he may not be there for game one, but John Cooper did say that to expect Braden Point to come back for this series. That's where I'm still gonna go Colorado. I just think at some point the well's gotta dry out for Tampa Bay.
You still chose 7, so you think it's going to be a hard-fought series. It's going to go down to the wire, regardless.
You don't want to count Tampa Bay out. I mean, they proved that in the last series. They were down 2-0, and they ended up losing. They ended up winning, sorry. So, I mean,
don't remind me.
At that point, Tampa Bay is a very good team, whether you like them or not. They're a very good team. They're well-built. They're well-coached. They're structured. They've got star power. They've got goaltending. They check almost every single box. They've lost players, replaced the players they lost with more, and the success is still there. They've played a lot of hockey, and they still made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I don't want to count Tampa out. And even if I'm wrong, it wouldn't surprise me to be wrong in this series.
So if you're right, you're going to take the glory. But if you're wrong, you're already saying, I knew I'd be wrong anyway.
No, I'm saying that Tampa's a good enough of a team to win it again. I don't want them to. And I'm picking Colorado because I think Colorado's the better team.
Okay. Colorado in 7 for you. They are the better team, but it's going to go 7. That's where you're going with this.
There's enough star power to score them goals too from Colorado.
All right. Very good. Dave, you and I are tied. I don't know who should go first in their pick.
Up to you. I'll give you the choice. I'll go first or you go first, whatever you want.
Yeah. All right, I'll go first. All right. Just because I don't want anybody to think that I copied you. So I'm going to take Colorado.
Of course you are.
In 5.
Oh, you're insane. Wow. You're insane.
I love it.
Colorado in 5. And here's why. All right. I think, unlike Vito, and I might be doing this every single series, but whatever. Unlike Vito, I do think the well is dried up. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning have just played too much damn hockey. they are going to be the victims of their own success with the shortened breaks, with the long playoffs. I just think the bodies are going to break down. They're just not going to have all of what it takes to really get there. I think last year they really had a much easier way through. Granted, they ran into the Islanders, but once they went through the Islanders, it was kind of like that pressure was just off and they just steamrolled the Habs. And so all they really got going for them right this second is that, ooh, we want to be that dynasty, right? They want to use that word. You want to get to three in a row, and they would be. And that's really the only driving thing pushing them forward. I think that proverbial wall that people run into when they're on those marathons, I think that is the Colorado Avalanche now. They're going to be there, and I think they're really going to put them to the fire. They got all the gunning power. They got everything. They match up perfectly with the exception of that goaltending. And I just think that Vasilevskiy, the man can't have pocket aces every single time. He can't.
There's something here now. You kind of position yourself for a potential tie, right? Like between you and I. If you get it right, but not in the right number of games, and I get it right, or without the right number of games too. No, wait, sorry. If you get it right with the right number of games and I get it right without the right number of games, then we're tied. What's the tiebreaker?
Well, if I get it right in the right number of games, even if the score equals out each other, I think I win because I got it in the right game and the right team.
How? We have the same number of points at
the
that point.
The tiebreaker is the Stanley Cup final. I picked the team and game.
Cup final counts for more.
So, Matt... that's how it is. Okay, the cup final. All right, whatever.
It doesn't have to.
I would have suggested the tiebreaker should be we pick a Conn Smythe winner.
Yeah, well, none of you get it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for fun, if you have a Conn Smythe winner in your head right now, throw it out. I'd like to.
Lekkonen.
You bastard.
Did you pick Lekkonen?
Yep.
You bastard.
Come on.
You know why I said it, though?
Matt, you just got an easy win. Come on.
You know why I said Artturi Lekkonen? Because I knew I'd get a reaction from Dave.
Ridiculous.
Hey, he's been a beast, man.
He's been a beast. Nate McKinnon, on record, said he'd give 10 first-round picks for a Lekkonen. Yeah. Dave wouldn't give one.
I wouldn't even give one. Nope, not worth it. Even what he's done.
There's my pick. It is the Colorado Avalanche in five.
All right.
Take it to the bank.
So, I'm going to give you guys a spoiler, not a prediction. And surprise, surprise, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have, even if I would have went first, that's what would have been my pick. Look, man, Colorado's down to their backup goaltender. Colorado's down their second line center.
Kemper's back, man.
What?
Kemper's back.
He's back? Okay. Well, I mean, even at that, is he really a starting goaltender at an elite level?
Was Matt Murray really a starting goaltender?
You hold your tongue, sir.
I'm sorry?
You hold your tongue.
Was Matt Murray really a starting goaltender, even though he's paid like one?
Okay, but was he playing against Andrei Vasilevskiy? Sorry, he wasn't. Andrei Vasilevskiy is a beast, first off. Second off, look, Colorado let it... Edmonton almost ran over them, man. And like, had it not been for Mike Smith and terrible goaltending, Edmonton was in the series, man. It was 8-6. The game. They're going to win games like that against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's not going to happen. You said that they don't have a Cale Makar. They have a guy named Victor Hedman who's pretty decent.
I mentioned Victor Hedman. I did.
You said they didn't have a Cale Makar. I get they don't have the same exact player, but I mean, Victor Hedman's a pretty decent defenseman that can match up with a guy like. And just like. I'm tired of people disrespecting the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're just built to win, man. They score throughout the lineup. Brayden Point's probably coming back. It's gonna be close, but Tampa Bay is gonna take it, man. I firmly believe that, and then I will rightfully win this pool, and we can move on with our lives.
I honestly think he's coming up with things to say positive about Tampa just because he's going to take Tampa for the small possibility of winning our little internal pool.
I honestly could not care less about our internal pool when it comes to predicting.
Whoa! Bragging rights there, Dave.
No, and I don't mean bragging rights are important to me, but at the end of the day, look, guys, Tampa Bay knows how to win, and that's the issue with it.
Is Colorado's time. They lost last season.
It could be,
and it's their time. Tampa, it's done. You guys won two cups. Move on now. Try to win next year, but move on,
guys. If they win, and I asked this this weekend over and over again. I asked this to Pat Hickey. I asked this to Mitch Melnick. I asked this to everybody I could talk to. if they win, are they considered the greatest dynasty of all time? And a lot of them were saying, yeah, you kind of got to give them the respect.
In the cap era, I would say, but not of
all time.
Guys, when the Habs were doing it, there was 6 teams in the NHL, or 10 teams, or 12 teams, or 14 teams.
I wouldn't even give it to the Habs.
If the Islanders did it, the Oilers did it, there was 20 teams in the league. All right, the goaltenders were papier-mâché, and they were stacked with
honestly.
But everybody had the same. Everybody had the same opportunities. I don't. I so disagree with that.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are doing it in a flat cap era, where it has never been done in other sports.
In the cap era, you're right.
They're doing it in an era where it's ridiculous to even repeat. Never mind three-peat, and they're doing it in years where there's even shorter amount of time in pandemic years where they had shorter turnarounds and shorter turnarounds and shorter turnarounds every all three seasons. They did it. It's unbelievable, man.
Well,
they
hold on. If
the greatest dynasties of all time,
if they
who's better, win, Matt, who's better?
Well, if they don't win,
the Habs of come on, who's better?
Honestly, the arguments that people make about, oh, Gretzky, and he played in a time where you can score from center ice and stuff and go back to the Rocket, and he's scoring and going around with his big piece of lumber and whatever. I disagree with these takes because everybody else had the same chance. Everybody else was out there competing against the same weak other everybody else.
The five other teams, you're right. The five other teams in the Rocket era had a chance. Ooh, good job.
But it's the same thing today. Same argument you can make.
It's not. There's 32 teams. There's 32 teams, Matt. There's 32 teams in the NHL, more than there's ever been in ever.
Yes.
That is more than five times the amount of teams that were.
But it doesn't matter how many teams exist. You have that much better players. The caliber of player across the board, the level is much higher.
So you're telling me if tomorrow the NHL goes down to two teams and over the next 10 years, it doesn't matter, there's only two teams, that's going to be
Listen, that's a ridiculous kind of thing to say, but technically to go with it, if the NHL went down to two teams, those two teams would be filled with the best hockey players in the world. And whichever team managed to beat the other team, if they did it three in a row, it would be equivalent. It's the exact same thing. It makes no difference.
The
opposition is the same. Everybody has the same. Now, the question I thought you were going to ask was, do you consider them a dynasty? Which, unequivocally, yes. Yes, they would be a dynasty. It doesn't matter if you like them or you don't like them. You win three in a row of any sport, you have a dynasty. That's a fact. I don't care about how much people, especially in the Habs land, how much they dislike the Tampa Bay Lightning. They would have a dynasty. You got to tip your hat to them. Even two in a row is impressive. But you don't have to go that far back to find other teams that did it. Pittsburgh did it not long ago. You got LA that did it within 1 or 2 year difference. They had, you know, back to back. Chicago did it.
Three or 4 years.
So, right there is proof in the pudding. Teams have done this. This isn't an oh my God thing. The third does put the cap. It makes them a dynasty. The other ones were great teams, but they're not dynasties. But don't go and tell me that this Tampa Bay Lightning team is to be held in the same annals of history as the Islanders and the Edmonton Oilers.
I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about the dynasty in terms of it being as impressive. It is impressive.
It's very impressive.
You misunderstood me. I'm talking about the dynasty aspect of it. Is a dynasty in this era more impressive than a dynasty when there was six teams? And absolutely. And if you tell me no, it's crazy to me. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Okay, I will close this in this fashion.
Wow, if they do, he's closing it. You don't even get.
He's closing it. I don't have another say.
I didn't get to speak. You guys cut me off. You went straight to Matt and asked him his opinion. Like mine didn't even matter.
Okay, Vito, close it. Give us the thing. Let's go.
If they do win the Stanley Cup for a third year in a row, okay, they are the best team to have won the Cup. They're a dynasty team in the cap era. I will give it to the. I'll give that.
What happens if they win four in a row?
Yeah, how do you want to even compete with that at that point? If they win four in a row, it's a
different story. If they win four in a row, we can have this same conversation that year, and I'll say that's a great, great team.
The point that I disagree with you, Dave, is when you said of all time. Because if there's a team that I would give it, it's not even the Montreal Canadiens. Because you can argue Montreal, they won cups when there was less teams in the league and all that. And then fine, it's ridiculous a valid argument. But I would
it's
probably
not a ridiculous
give,
argument.
Would
man.
Probably
it's
hey,
not a ridiculous
hey,
argument
hey,
at all.
This is my turn. I would probably give it to the Detroit Red Wings, late 1990s and early 2000s, where they were monsters. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, is this off the take day? What is this?
That one is off the board.
Detroit?
Dude, Detroit won two back-to-back Stanley Cups, then won another 2 years within a 5 year or a 6 year span, and they were making the Stanley Cup finals within that span of time too.
I mean, that's a take.
They had Scotty Bowman there. They had Yzerman. They had Lidstrom. Like, they had Fedorov. The talent was off the charts. They were fantastic.
They had a great.
Their rivals between them and Colorado were great. Heck, they're making a fucking documentary on that shit.
I'm aware. I'm gonna watch it. It looks fantastic. They're great fantastic. Teams.
So, but Tampa Bay, okay, I'm going to get chewed on this one. I put an asterisk on their three cups, on their two cups.
COVID.
Shortened years.
It makes it more impressive.
I'm going to put an asterisk on it, man.
Oh, my God. Dave, where's your lightning tattoo? Where is it? You must have one.
I don't have any fan at all. Come on. It's impressive. You guys are just haters of
I'm not. I'm trying to be so objective wise. About it.
Man, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that you would laugh at to say that it's more impressive to win in a COVID year. They have what's the one knock on why teams can't repeat? It's because there's no turnaround. There's no time to turn around. It's too taxing on the body. They've done three cups in like a calendar. If you look at the calendar year, the shortest
time. They didn't get the ever. Third cup yet.
How is that not impressive?
Don't put the cart before the horse. They didn't get the third cup yet. Dave. I mean,
that's what we're talking it's about. If they, we're not nobody, talking about the guys now. We're talking about if they win it.
This whole nobody is suggesting. No one's suggesting that it's not impressive. All right. No one's suggesting that if they win the third cup, it's not a dynasty. I just seem to find it a little bit comical. I'm going to go and call this more of a recency thing. I mean, it's just, I just can't hold them in the same echelon as some of the other. I mean, you're talking teams that won five in a row.
You know what I hope?
Put my best player on LTIR all year and then bring him in.
You know what I hope so bad? That the Canadians win the next three Stanley Cups and you guys are like, oh, not even a dynasty. Not even sure it's a dynasty.
It's a dynasty. Three is a dynasty.
You guys would be all over the question, God. Is this the best dynasty of all time? It's because you guys have a half jersey back there and a half jersey back there.
We don't hide the fact. We're not hiding the fact that we're Canadians fans, no doubt. And if the Canadians did, by some grace of God, win the next three in a row, that would also be a dynasty.
Not even in the conversation of other teams. How are you? The fact that you pause is insane to me.
What's the question? There's so much yelling. What's the question?
How are you pausing it?
If Montreal wins the next three cups in a row,
it would be mind-blowing if they did it.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay has some of the best players in the NHL on their team. They have the best goalie in the NHL on their team. If the Canadians did it 3 years in a row with whatever the shit they're about the ice, you got to think something insane has happened. So that's why I pause. But no, I just don't
you
know.
You want to know what? I will say this. If they win the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row, heck, they win it once. I'm going to be on a drunken stupor for a whole fucking 3 years.
Okay, listen. Putting that's this aside, because this went off.
That's crazy takes.
This went off the rails. I got some other things I want to talk about. This one, Dave decided to just blow our minds with this to the point where you made my camera go all fuzzy. Hold on a second. Let me fix this. All right. My goodness, I can't wait to go offline and talk about this with you after. Okay, talking Canadians, if we're allowed, Dave, if we could put the Tampa Bay Lightning aside for a second, talking Canadians, there are some prospects out there that are making headlines these days. We got some interesting news going on. Caden Gooley, for example, his team just won, the Edmonton Oil Kings just won the CHL championship where he was named playoff at the CHL.
WHL.
Whatever. They won. Congratulations to them. He was named playoff MVP. Joshua Hua gets a professional tryout just to get him on the team from his junior team on the Laval Rocket for their playoff push because he was performing that well. You got Jan Mishak. Yeah, all right. And Arbor Jack guy. That one I practiced.
There you go.
Those guys on the Bulldogs are one win away from winning their championship. Rafi Harvey-Pinard is playing like a little Brendan Gallagher all-star, right? So you got all these young players out there. They're still playing. We're in June. They're still doing hockey. These are good things. So my question to you is this. Out of all of the prospects that are out there, prospects being somebody who is not on the Canadiens at the end of this season that just happened, who's making the team on opening night? Dave.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, man, I love it. The most – see – it's different between who I think should make the team, I guess, and who I think will make the team. Like, I think there's a good chance Caden Gooley makes this team. I don't think we should rush him too much. I think it's been proven when you rush defensemen, especially, like, it's okay to rush a defenseman and put him on your third pairing and not rush him, but insert him into your lineup when he's young and see what he can do. But yeah. Caden Gooley most likely gets into this roster and you know, most likely plays way too much. And we've seen what that's done. The most famous example, Luke Shen in Toronto. Started off great 3-year, 4-year start to his career, and then disappeared because it's too much. It's too much for these young guys. All due respect to Caden Gooley, he did great. Yeah, he won the WHL Player of the Year. Shea Weber's won that award before. Leon Draisaitl's won that award before. But there's also a bunch of, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily just because you run that award, you're NHL ready.
Definitely
right?
Not.
The last person to win that award was 3 years ago because of the COVID. And it was Ian Scott, a goaltender with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he's nowhere near ready for the NHL. I know goaltenders are different. But, you know, nonetheless, if you go down the list, it shouldn't just, I see it on Twitter a lot. Oh man, he's NHL ready. You gotta see what you got and maybe give him the 9-game treatment and move him back down. That being said, you take a guy like Arber Jacki, who we've spoken about it before. He's my favorite prospect. He's going to be an entertaining guy to watch. He's a guy who probably the expectation level is zero. He's a guy who could probably be, if he does make the Habs, he could go in and out of the lineup and whatnot. Most likely to make the lineup would probably be Harvey Pinard, is that would be my guess to make to most likely.
Over Ilonen?
Yes, because I think Ilonen just still has so much work to do. I think if he's going to come here, he's going to be on the bottom six. He's going to not, you know, you're going to see how he was used earlier this season. And I think that if you want him to develop into a top six guy, which a lot of people like hope his ceiling is, I think he's going to take a little bit more seasoning in the AHL to do that. Okay. It's sad to say.
Fair.
That's what
Fair.
I think. And I don't think maybe he will make the team. But again, I don't know if that's the right decision in my eyes. And I think that this management team and this coaching staff seems to be more on the same mindset of waiting and being patient than others in the past. So I would go with RHP.
Let me just quickly ask you a follow-up then, because I was curious if one of you guys were going to say RHP or not. I've read a bunch of people suggesting that an NHL team can't really have two players that play that style of game and their size, i.e. Gallagher and RHP, on the same team. Do you see that as a problem or no?
In a contending team, yes, you're right, 100%. And a team probably that's going to have a throwaway season like the Habs will next year, I think it's fine to see. Because he won't play every game, right? He'll be inserted here or there, and Gallagher has history of injuries
and such. Yep.
And at the end of the day, Gallagher is still considered kind of a guy who could score and do that. Like, I think RHP is going to be fourth line and that's it. He's going to be glued to that fourth line and not move out of there. So I think that you could probably, there's a scenario where none of these guys make the team.
Absolutely. Right? That's why I'm throwing it out there. There's a lot of positive stuff with these prospects. I'm just curious if you guys have one that you're holding a little bit in higher regard that you can see filling a hole on the team next year.
I'm holding out for Arber Jacki because I just want to see him and I want to see more of him.
But physically, he seems to be the most mature out of all of them.
Yeah, but if he ends up moving to Laval or whatnot, that's fine too. I'm perfectly fine with none of these guys making. I'm not a fan of rushing people to the show, especially that the Canadians are not going to be. You know, world.
It's defense. Very likely that they're not going to be a good team.
Yes, yeah. I mean, yeah. depending on what they do in the offseason.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm very open to being dazzled by whatever management can pull off and what Martin St. Louis can get out of them. But I agree. I think that's a pretty good take, Vito. You see it different?
I'm going to give you it's going to be one scenario, but what I think is going to happen or could happen is that I think none of the players are going to actually make it on the roster per se for a full season. I do think that if there's a player that might get a call up or might stay with the Habs, we'll call it the 10 games, or even that Marty St. Louis maybe wants to work with, or the other coaches too, is going to be Caden Gooley, because there's a need on the left side and they might put him on the third pairing while Romanov moves up and plays first pairing minutes, and you know, we have other defensemen that are there too with Schoeneman and all those guys. It's not going to be a pretty back end out there. We also have Harris too, we got to consider. I think I would love it though. I'll say this, I would love it if they grab Gooley and Justin Barron, threw them in Laval, made them play the first pairing, whatever it is, bunch of played 20 to 25 minutes a game and just develop that way and get used to the pro level before they come to the NHL. But it wouldn't really surprise me if all of a sudden they do decide to keep Gouley, because like you, Dave said, it is a throwaway season potentially. And somebody like Marty St. Louis is there and has mentioned that he's not going to, he would like to win, but he's not going to sacrifice developing players just to win. So I'm looking at next season as a season where if the Habs win, fantastic. But if we can develop players to get to where they need to be for not next season, but the year after and the year after that, that's kind of what they're trying to do with Marty St. Louis.
So, in both your opinions, there's realistically, there are players that can go, but there is nobody in your estimations that are ready to make the ascension to the NHL level that need to get a spot out of training camp.
On a regular spot, I don't really see anybody, but I can see somebody like Harvey Pinard being called up, Ylinen being called up when needed. If Armia gets traded or Byron's hurt again and Byron's bought out, or you know, those scenarios, and now there's no available. Then you're going to see Harvey Pinard.
No, you're going to see guys coming out. I'm not suggesting who do you think will get called up, but I'm saying, is there someone who's going to make the team out of camp? Make the team.
Yeah, I would say probably Gouley has the best chance out of all of them. Maybe. I pronounce his name differently, but I think you guys said Jack Eye. I call him Z-Cash.
That would be incorrect, sir.
Not his name, but you know, when you have that many X's in your name, it's hard to figure out how to pronounce that.
For sure. The danger for me for Gouley, right, and just to focus on Gouley, is if he makes the team, sits on that bottom left pairing, and then or whatever, and then you have younger guys, and he doesn't play well at first, and then you know you have the pressure to put other guys in, and then it just, to me, it's a confidence issue, man. You just need to. There's no point in rushing him right now. I just don't see it. Just let him develop and let him work his game.
But Dave, you see his attitude and demeanor and the way he carries himself. He doesn't look like somebody who would take it on the chin, right? He looks like would take it bad. He looks like somebody that would like, okay, you're sending me down, fine. I'm getting to play. I understand.
Not on the mental aspect. It just sometimes some things just click in you when you're just that. Some bad things happen to you, and you rely too much, and the pressure's on, and the media thing. Something could click on you. He's right now. He's playing
the media. Maybe the media aspect, because there's no pressure for the Habs for next coming seasons. Maybe there's going to be a small minority of people that are going
to be. There's goodwill. There's goodwill today, but we all know the fans in this city, and the start of the season, you're going to see a lot of them are going to forget the long term goal, and they're going to expect wins. They're going to expect the team to ice and play well and win, because that's what we do in this city. You know, I don't believe that all of a sudden the culture completely switched and okay, they'll be.
You know who I think makes it? You know who I think makes the team opening night? Shane Wright.
All right, fair.
Although there's an argument there.
There is an argument there.
True.
But he'll make it.
Yeah.
If he's drafted, he'll make the team.
Okay.
Where he's slotted on the lineup is a different conversation, but he'll make it.
Third line center. That's where he's going to start.
Yeah, he'll be interchangeable. If he plays really well, if he takes to it really fast, like a fish to water, maybe he goes to the second line for sure, but I see him more in the third. That being said, speaking of another third liner, you mentioned him before about potentially being traded. I was curious because Armia's situation is interesting, right? The past two seasons, his numbers have been, to put it lightly, not good. Not good. However, he was a standout in the playoffs in the cup run. He was very good on that line with Corey Perry. Then we see him at the Worlds, where all of a sudden, the man's a beast. Everybody's talking about Joel Armia, and he's scoring goals, and he's looking great, and they win gold, and everything's wonderful. Do you guys believe that Armia has the goods and can use a lot of this new positivity and goodwill that he's earned now and stay on the team and make the team better? Or if you're Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton, do you use this as the opportunity now that he's at a high again or a medium to high to get rid of him and his $3.5 million contract to make space? What would you do, Vito? What would you do?
Okay, so the only issue I really have with Armia, besides, you know, his inconsistencies in his play and his cap hit. But when you think of Armia and the year he had, the actual year, not just the season, the guy got hit with COVID like twice, was on COVID protocol a whole bunch of times. Who knows what effects COVID had on him and his play and fatigue levels and all of that stuff. So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. It seems like once the season ended and he went to the World Championships, it's like almost like his energy levels came back. He's back home. He's seeing his family. All these things came up. So a happy Armia seems to bring out the best of him, and a healthy one for sure. But the problem with Montreal right now is, on a business perspective, is his cap. And if he's somebody that teams are inquiring about and are interested in acquiring him, while it would be a loss to lose a big body player like him, it would, from a business perspective, it'd be great to get rid of his cap and trade him off. So I got to think on that level, and where the Habs are going, and the fact that we're the second team with the highest cap. We need to move contracts out, and he's unfortunately a casualty of that. So I would say you'd have to get rid of Armia just for that reason.
Okay.
But if the Habs decided to keep him, it wouldn't bother me.
All right. Methodical, but fair.
Yeah.
David.
I'm not a big UL Armia fan. I think there's too many days where he does absolutely nothing for anybody. Fine, he has these flashes of brilliance, plays great. This guy probably leads the league in most 2-goal and 0-goal games combined.
He never scores just one when he scores.
That's
he
it.
Never scores
That's
just one.
That's what they say.
He's just such an annoying player, and he doesn't do anything for me. He's supposed to be this like big, you know, at the beginning was a power forward, right? When the Sabres drafted him, when he went to the Jets, power forward. Like, he's nowhere close to that. He's just meh. You know, he's just a meh player. His salary is getting paid too much money. Another product of Bergevin falling in love with a player and then giving him too much. I would say trade him, but I don't think, to be honest, his value is probably not very high. I know, and I know that, like, he did well at the, but to me that means nothing. And if you're a hockey NHL general manager and you're basing that off of a little tournament like that when he's playing at home in Finland, like. But that being said, it's time for my motto.
General, look at this. You made a graphic.
The
NHL general managers are dumb.
So if I'm Jeff Gordon or Ken Hughes, I'm calling everyone I know and trying to deal with UL Armia, sending them little highlight packages, the box scores of the games, and trying to move them and hoping, you know,
show them those playoff highlights.
A team knows absolutely, has watched absolutely no Montreal Canadiens games other than the ones that he scored in. And he's like, yeah, let's get UL Armia on this team. But I think it would be a big mistake. Honestly, they're pretty much stuck with him.
So you don't even think they can move him, but if they can, you're very much pro pack your bags. Okay. That's fair. I gotta agree with you, boys. I actually like Yoel Armia. That being said, though, with the cap the way it is, he's not my cousin. He's not my cousin. When he does have those flashes of brilliance, as you say,
I don't need to be mean to him. To be honest, I feel like
he leaves the Montreal Canadiens and goes to another team with a bit more skill and a bit more support.
I guarantee
he's gonna blossom on another team.
Yeah, and like all players.
That's how Kent Hughes is gonna sell that. But if he comes to your team and gets away from our craft,
look at Lars Eller, the most frustrating player when he was with the Canadiens. Right, you saw what he could do. Guy would hit the organist with his shots and on a breakaway. You know what I mean? Like, it was awful. And then look what he's doing. He's doing well in Washington. You could argue that
Lekkonen had that same problem. He missed the net 100 times, gets to Colorado. He's scoring goals everywhere.
Future Conn Smythe winner, yeah, Lekkonen. Okay, we'll have you know. Okay, I'm in agreement. And listen, we'll see what happens. I doubt he's the only name that's being dangled out there. They have to do something. Everybody knows about it. He even came out and said it, Hughes, that they're looking to shed some caps. So to be seen. One thing about cap, one last question. It's not quite Habs related, but a tiny tinge bit. I'm just curious on your take. Everybody's talking about it, so I'm wondering what you guys think. Capo Kakko, he gets scratched in the last game there before they get eliminated in New York. And there is many parallels that are being done between him and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. The fact that they both got scratched in the game, the fact that they're going to be RFAs and the offer sheets. And the whole works, right? You can even come down to, we have Capo Kakko is KK, and we called Jesperi Kotkaniemi KK here. Oh my God, it's all eerie and crazy. I'm curious, one, do you even think this kid's going to get offer sheeted? And two, explain to me why the Habs would go and make the mistake of offer sheeting
him. Mistake, wow.
Mistake.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it. You seem like you got something to say.
I don't know. I didn't even think of it before you mentioned it, to be honest. I don't think he'll leave the Rangers, to be honest. I think that they'll figure it out there. You know, KK got offer sheeted because of a grudge, really. Like, at the end of the day, there weren't teams lining up to sign Jesperi Kotkaniemi. They thought, hey, man, this is going to be fun.
That's the real question, right? Even if, there are similarities between KK and Kaapo Kakko, but who would be this year's Carolina?
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, like, unless you could sign him, maybe like a sign and trade would be more realistic but at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a Ranger. I would go for him if I were the Canadians. Like, he's a
really
Ranger guy. I wouldn't.
Look,
you'd offer sheet him.
I wouldn't offer sheet him, but okay. He's a guy who has skill. Like, you could see.
I'm talking offer sheet. I would take Kaapo Kakko on my team too. Don't misconstrue. Okay. I'm talking specifically an offer sheet, which means you'd have to give up the next year's first, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it depends on how much you sign him for. But yeah,
you're gonna have to sign him something that New York's not gonna, you know.
You'll have to sign him the same thing.
Kotkaniemi.
So you're looking at about
same thing as
that's why I'm saying he won't.
A first and a third, maybe, and I wouldn't.
He'll stay with the Rangers. You know, Kaapo Kakko scored that big goal, right? If I recall correctly, at the World Juniors, right before the draft, right? Was it not right before the draft? And then like he vaulted. Like, I don't think he was always expected to go number two.
I'd have to look into it, but I pretty much remember him being pretty locked in at two.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Because, like, you wonder now. I mean, the Seider was in that draft. I think Trevor Zegras was in that draft as
Would he be redrafted at two? I would say no. Yeah.
He was drafted in 2019, right? Like, it's so young in his career. Like, I'm so against writing people off this young. And this is another case where he was kind of rushed into a lineup that, you know, maybe he shouldn't have. And there was high expectations. And, you know, they had Lafreniere. And look at Lafreniere, right? Look at Lafreniere. He was drafted first overall. Everyone kind of, like, labeled him a bust. Oh, he's going to get traded to the Canadians. Trade Shane Wright for Lafreniere. But look at him in the playoffs, how well
he played very well.
If you develop yourself properly, and if you develop, if you give these guys time, they'll eventually showcase their talent. And I think that you just have to wait a little bit and be patient. But no, I wouldn't offer sheet Kaapo Kakko.
Yeah, I think Montreal is out there because of the connection with Jeff Gordon, right? That was his second round pick.
You can't just link every Ranger.
They do it. Not every Ranger, but they specifically do it. They do it because the guy, it wasn't that long ago, and that was his guy. He chose him over guys like Seider, over guys like Raymond and such. So, you know, it's curious. It's curious. I don't think he'll do it. I don't think they should do it. Vito, I kind of almost hope you say yes, just because to cause some shit.
The next year's draft is said to be a strong one. If you believe honestly that Montreal is going to be a bottom eight team, do I really want to sacrifice my first overall for Kaapo Kakko?
Obviously,
it depends.
So there you go. Tell me it's a bit of a bust draft, or it's not going to be a very good draft. It's going to be similar to the Galchenyuk year or something to that effect. Then, maybe I'll take a chance on it if I really believe in it. But it's just New York Rangers have more cap space than the Montreal Canadiens do. So they'll probably just match it just to say fuck off. And they're going to create another enemy there. So it's just not going to happen. Forget it. I have a more important question for you than this one.
Ooh. All right. Make it snappy.
I'll make it snappy. There's been a lot of talk. And a lot of rumors swirling about Josh Anderson. Quickly, what do you guys think of these rumors?
They need to stop, is what I think. They need to stop. Josh Anderson is a Montreal Canadian. He's going to stay here. This guy is what you're looking for. He's a power forward. He's got the size. Yes, he gets snake bitten from time to time. Yes, he can be a little bit more aggressive, but these things can be worked on. You don't find a player like him often, and I don't understand why everybody's so keen on getting rid of him in some crazy cockamamie package to get the second overall pick.
I don't think people are keen on getting rid of him. I don't think people – it's just that he's desired and teams are calling. So when teams are calling, you don't just say, no, we're not talking about this player. You have to kind of – see what
he's still young enough. I know people are talking about this whole window thing. You got to trade him now because by the time the Canadians are good, he's already going to be in his early 30s. I don't buy that shit for a second. I think you need to ice good players when you can have them. He is on the team. He is signed for a good contract and he's signed for term. You keep him. That is my two cents on that.
Dave?
I mean, my instinct is to keep him. The thing is, it depends on what's being offered, man. Josh Anderson's not like you can't deal Josh Anderson off my club. Like, he's not an untouchable whatsoever on his team. So if there's actually multiple teams calling you, it depends on what the offer is. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not not taking those calls. I'm taking those calls and I'm actually interested and maybe seeing if I could get more from what they're offering. But at the end of the day, you don't make a dumb deal. Josh Anderson fits well with this team. He's a power forward that they've been looking for forever.
This is my point.
And all the points Matt said, like, can he be more aggressive? Can he be more consistent? Can he be? Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of things to be concerned about with Josh Anderson in terms of his consistency. But at the end of the day, he's an important asset on this team. And unless you're getting an amazing return, I'm not dealing.
And we've heard that people from insiders that have said that Hughes and Gordon have received calls with good offers and they completely shut them down. So I'm in agreement.
It has to be a great offer.
It has to be great.
Honestly, in my opinion,
and I don't see it happening.
I can't compare Pacioretty and Anderson because they're not the same player at all. Because of what Josh Anderson means to the Montreal Canadiens, I would be a greedy pig on this. And we're talking about a conversation. If we're going to talk about this, at a minimum, the package has to be somewhere in the realm of what they got for Pacioretty.
That's very fair. You got to sit back and think about if you get the Pacioretty package back.
It has to be.
If you get the Pacioretty package, you take it, I think.
Yeah.
No, I would look at it that way.
Because, you know, he's not a.
It's not going to happen. 30
goal scorer.
Exactly.
Max Pacioretty is an insane asset in this league if he stays healthy, right? Like as much as you could hate Max Pacioretty for what he was and how he was as a captain and whatnot, Max Pacioretty was a goal scorer in an era where you didn't see that consistency very often. And it's sad that he got injured in Vegas because I really like Max Pacioretty's play. And I think a lot of people wanted him to be the power forward, the guy in the corners, and the guy in that's just not what
they wanted him to be. If Max Pacioretty's goal scoring ability, if Josh Anderson had Max Pacioretty's goal scoring ability, forget it. You know what I mean? The kind of player that Josh Anderson would be so, like, he would definitely be an untouchable for the Habs because he could skate, he could get behind the goalies, he goes to the net, he does all the things that we hope Max Pacioretty would do. And Josh Anderson's missing that one couple. Josh Anderson can score goals. He just can't score goals at the pace of Max Pacioretty.
Fair.
Oh, it's fair. It's fair. And that is a fantastic question to end on. And I thank you for it. And I thank all of you listening. We really appreciate it. As usual, you guys are fantastic. Everybody who we interact with on our social medias, we appreciate you. We love interacting with everybody. Feel free to keep shooting us messages, comments on the YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. We're there. We're always looking. It's really, really fun. And please, if you haven't already, like, subscribe. You know the drill. That's how we do it. That's how we keep this thing going. And we really, really enjoy doing it. So on that, for Vito and Dave, and I'm Matt, and this was Get Pucked.